There was a 5-year-old boy who went to Mass with his mother, and everybody was going up for Holy Communion. He said, "I want to receive Holy Communion." The mother said, "No, you can't. You're only 5 years old. You haven't made your first Holy Communion yet." And the boy was not too happy about that. After communion, the ushers took up the second collection, and they came around to take up the collection, and the little boy was holding a dollar bill that the mother had given him, but he wouldn't put it into the collection basket. The mother said, "Why won't you put that in the basket? Why don't you give money to the church?" And the 5-year-old said, "If I can't eat, I'm not paying." The Holy Eucharist is our spiritual food. It is the food for the journey. In fact, the last communion anybody receives is called their viaticum, the Latin words which means food for the journey. I had the privilege of giving my dad viaticum, his last Holy Communion, the day of his death. And the same with my mom. I had just said Mass for her at about 4:30 that afternoon, and I left at 7:30 to drive back, and she died about 10 o'clock that night. That was her last communion, her viaticum, her food for the journey. And what a privilege it is for us as Catholics to have the Holy Eucharist. And the Church gives us this great feast day, the feast day of the body and blood of Christ, also in Latin called Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. In fact, in our country, we have at least two cities named after the Holy Eucharist. We have Corpus Christi, Texas. So that whole city is named after this belief of the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And we have Sacramento, California, again, named after the Most Blessed Sacrament. So in our history as Catholics living in this country, we've named two cities after this great mystery, the mystery of the real presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. The Church teaches us that the Eucharist is not a something, the Eucharist is a someone. It's not what it is, it's who it is. The Eucharist is Jesus. Jesus is God. The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our resurrected, glorified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just as real in the tabernacle as he was when he died on the cross for us 2,000 years ago, or was born in that manger and placed in that manger in Bethlehem. It's the same Jesus, but in his resurrected, glorified body under the appearances of bread and wine. At the Last Supper, which we just heard the account of in the Gospel, what does Jesus say? He says, "He took bread and said, 'This is my body.'" He did not say, "This reminds you of my body, this represents my body, this symbolizes my body." Jesus did not say any of those things. He said, "This is my body." And then he took the cup, and it says, he said, "This is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant." He didn't say, "This represents my blood, this reminds you of my blood, this, you know, is a representation, or this is a symbol of my blood." He didn't say it. He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And Jesus had prepared the minds and hearts of the disciples up to this point to be able to reveal his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament at the Last Supper. Notice what he did throughout his ministry. For example, he showed he had power over wine, power over bread, power over his body. And he showed that when he spoke, his words took effect. For example, begin at the wedding feast of Cana. What happened? They ran out of wine. Why did they run out of wine? The Bible tells us so. The apostle showed up and they ran out of wine. It was their fault. It was the apostle's fault. And so what did Jesus have to do? He changed water into wine, therefore showing his power over material elements such as water and wine. Another miracle, the loaves and fish. Remember, they're out in the field, and 5,000 people one time, 7,000 another. And Jesus took a few loaves and a few fish. He blessed them and distributed them, and everyone ate, showing he had power over bread to multiply the bread, to feed everyone with the bread. So he showed he had power over wine at Cana, power over bread in those miracles. Remember when he walked on water? That showed he had power over his body. And when he rose from the dead, he clearly showed he had power over his body. Well, all of those miracles are rolled into one at the Last Supper. And don't forget, when Jesus spoke, his words took effect. If Jesus saw a crippled person, he could say, "Be healed," and immediately the person would be healed. Or if he said to a deaf person, "Hear," they immediately could hear. Or to a blind person, "See," they immediately could see. Or when he cursed the fig tree, it shriveled up and died. When Jesus saw the storm, he was on the boat, he spoke to the storm, and the storm became calm. See, when Jesus spoke, nature listened. Remember the old TV commercial? When E.F. Hutton spoke, people listened. Well, when Jesus spoke, all of nature listened. So when Jesus said at the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood," nature listened, and it became the body and blood of Christ. And also, we should remember, too, that Jesus can be present in a disguise. After he rose from the dead, he walked in the garden of the resurrection, and Mary Magdalene thought he was the gardener. He was in some sort of a disguise. When he walked along the road to Emmaus, the two disciples thought it was just a fellow traveler. They did not realize that Jesus was there. It says they only realized it in the breaking of the bread. That's when Jesus dropped his veil of disguise, and they saw that it truly was Jesus. And they were so filled with joy, they ran back home 7 miles to tell the other disciples that they had seen the Lord. So this is how we can explain the Holy Eucharist to our brothers and sisters of other denominations. Walk them through the wedding feast of Cana, the miracles of the loaves and the fish. Walk them through Jesus' power over words and over nature, and then how he can be present in a different appearance. And the Eucharist is where he's truly present under the appearances of bread and wine. We call the great miracle that takes place at every Mass the miracle of transubstantiation. It's a wonderful word. It's a great Catholic word. It's also worth 20 points in Scrabble. It's a great word, and that doesn't even account other ways that you can get more points. But just of and of itself, that's a 20-point word. Now, it's a big word. The word trans means change of substance. But so what the Church teaches is that at the moment of the consecration, the substance of the bread and the substance of the wine are changed into the substance of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. But the appearances, what's called the accidents or the appearances, the weight, the taste, the look, remain the same. And so it's a change in substance. So after the consecration, there is no longer any bread present. There's no longer any wine present. It still will look and taste like bread and wine, but it has become Jesus in his glorified body under the appearances of bread and wine. A good analogy is if you went to a laboratory and took bread and wine and exposed it to high doses of radiation, you would not want to eat that bread and wine exposed to radiation, because it would be radioactive material under the appearance of bread and wine. It would still look exactly the same, taste exactly the same, but it would affect you. So that's a little image or analogy of the Holy Eucharist. After the ordained priest, who's been ordained by a bishop, who can trace his ordination back to Christ and those 12 apostles, says those words of consecration, the bread and wine cease to exist, and it is Jesus, what we call the real presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Well, how should we receive Jesus? Well, we should prepare to receive him, then receive him reverently, and then make a thanksgiving. That's the threefold way to get more grace out of Holy Communion. See, one Holy Communion could transform somebody into a saint. One Holy Communion, if they were properly prepared and properly disposed to receive all the graces that they could receive. so we can prepare to receive communion, maybe try to come a few minutes early before Mass, open up, you know, read the readings before Mass, listen to the prayers of the Mass and the homily, and try to prepare our hearts to receive Jesus worthily. Then when we come up to receive Jesus, we receive him with great reverence and great respect. We say amen, which means so be it, I believe, I'm willing to die for that truth. And lastly, after we receive, we go back to our seat and spend some time in thanksgiving to adore Jesus within us, to adore him, to love him, to thank him, to ask him for what we need, and to praise him. That's what we should do every time we receive Holy Communion. Good preparation, reverent reception, and then a thanksgiving after communion. And this is how we can receive more graces and truly honor the great mystery of faith, the real presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament.